If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Dr. Sarah Vinson is with us. She's an award-winning triple board certified physician specializing in adult, child, adolescent, and forensic psychiatry, advanced training in trauma from Harvard Medical School. My gosh. I would call you an overachiever, but thank God we have people like you in the world that can help us. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
That was just part of your resume. So it is, you know, we think we know our children well. And I think as parents, most of us think that we would spot a mental health condition. But do they kind of creep up where we might not recognize that things are changing, or we might attribute it to, oh, that's just teenage behavior?
Well, I just love the way that you phrase that question, because that's what it really starts with, right, is having a good baseline. You know, people talk about the days of eating dinner together, and yes, that was, you know, helpful in and of its own right, but the big part of it was that you had a pulse on someone, right? You were laying eyes on them, you had discussions with them, and so if there was a deviation from the baseline, you had a good sense of what the baseline is. And what I find a lot of times is people underestimate how important just that regular contact is. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion about teenagers being distracted by their phones. Parents often are too. So everybody kind of putting that down and being present with each other, as simple as it sounds, is really big.
Yeah, I know it does sound simple, but I remember those moments because I grew up in a house where, you know, it was traditional. My mom had dinner on the table most nights if she wasn't working, and we sat there. And as a kid, sometimes as a teenager, you're like, I just really don't want to deal with this again tonight, because you know they're going to pepper you with questions, and with good reason. But how do you recognize that there is something a little more serious going on, that maybe it needs your full attention?
Absolutely. So if there are things that they were passionate about before that they don't seem interested in anymore, or they're disengaged from all of a sudden, that can be a really big sign. You know, one of the stereotypes about teenagers is, you know, they're bored all the time or they complain, but they often do have their own areas of interest. And so if those particular areas of interest for your child seem to be losing steam for them, that's really important. If they're isolating from their friends, you know, maybe they're not engaging with their family or their younger siblings as much, and that can be developmentally appropriate. But if they're isolating from their peers, that can be a big red flag. You know, with students who are high achievers or overachievers even, sometimes with them, grades are going to be the last thing to go, because that's such a big part of their identity. So don't wait for the grades to drop in kids like that. You want to look at those other kind of social indicators that maybe something is going awry. And then shifts in things like sleep, appetite, again, super basic, but they can be clues that there's depression or anxiety going on.
And when you do recognize those changes and you do suspect depression or anxiety, at what point do you reach out to get professional help?
So anytime you're worried about safety, so they're expressing thoughts of not wanting to be alive, you notice that they're doing things to harm themselves, they're more irritable or aggressive with other people, or they're acting in ways that are impulsive, maybe not trying to harm themselves, but, you know, put them at risk. Those are all things that you want to get addressed as soon as possible. And I always make the plug for the pediatrician often being a good place to start, because it may take a while before you can get in to see a mental health professional. But so much of the mental health care in this country is done by primary care providers, and most kids are going to have one of those already.
Yeah, and those kids feel a little more comfortable around that person because they've probably seen them since they were a baby, so they might be more willing to open up. It seems like just about everybody suffers from some form of anxiety today. Maybe that's an unfair stereotype that I'm putting on a lot of people. How many different types of anxiety are there?
Oh, goodness. There are many forms. And I do think it's always helpful to differentiate between stress, fear, and anxiety, right? So stress is temporary. Sometimes it can be useful. If I'm stressed about this presentation, I'm going to work really hard so that I can perform well in school or at work, right? Fear is when you're actually afraid of something that is a real threat, right? So that's not just anxiety. It's not in your head. It's actually something that is potentially harmful to you. Whereas with anxiety, in some way, there's some distortion or some way that a threat is being misperceived or exaggerated by the person. And that is associated with distress and physical symptoms and things like that. So you can have anxiety that's related to social situations, to performance, that's more generalized, there are so many different forms. But the big thing is it actually getting in your way? And is it something that is an exaggeration or overblown or a misperception in some way?
Because there are so many people who are very, younger generations especially, very comfortable with the word anxiety and use it to describe a lot of situations.
Whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And so as a parent, you're like, is it true anxiety or is that just a word that they use to describe which is a stressful situation?
Right. And, you know, in some ways, you know, information sharing across different platforms is good. But in others, what we've seen sometimes is that people think any sort of unpleasant emotion is pathology. And that's not true, right? The human experience has all kinds of emotions that are part of it. And sometimes those just uncomfortable emotions are signals to us that are actually quite helpful. And so it's always important to distinguish, is this just something I'm feeling that is uncomfortable for the moment versus is this something that is causing me excessive distress or actually getting in my way of functioning in the world?
Well, I all wish we had you and in our family to have dinner with every night because I think we'd all be a little better off. But thank you so much for joining us. And I'm so glad that you're sharing this knowledge with anyone who wants to be a part of the event. It is at noon and at 7 p.m. Thursday, this coming Thursday. Dr. Sarah Vinson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much. Have a good evening.
GPSParentSeries.org.